ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यद्यापि स्वविदितं
यद्यापि स्वविदितं
यद्यापि स्वविदितं
यद्यापि स्वविदितं
सकलधर्मं ब्राह्मं गुह्यं
सकलधर्मं ब्राह्मं
गुह्यं
सकलधर्मं ब्राह्मं गुह्यं
ब्राह्मणे दर्शितमार्गेण
ब्राह्मणे दर्शितमार्गेण
समाधिरूपये जनतमनुशाशशा यद्यपि स्वविदितं सकलधर्मं ब्रह्मं गुह्यं ब्राह्मणे दर्शितमार्गेण समाधिरूपये जनतमनुशाशशा यद्यपि स्वविदितं सकलधर्मं ब्राह्मं गुह्यं
ब्राह्मणेर्दर्शितमार्गेण
समाधिरूपये
जनतमनुशाशशा
यद्यपि स्वविदितं सकलधर्मं ब्रह्मं गुह्यं ब्राह्मणेर्दर्शितमार्गेण वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन यद्यपि ऑल्हो स्वविदितं नोन बाय हिम सकल धर्म विच इंक्लूड्स ऑल डिफरेंट टाइप्स ऑफ ऑक्यूपेशनल ड्यूटीज ब्राह्मम वैदिक इंस्ट्रक्शंस गुह्यम वेरी कॉन्फिडेंशियल ब्राह्मणे बाय द ब्राह्मणास दर्शित मार्गेन बाय द पाथ शोर साम आदिभिः साम ताम प्रतीक्षा कंट्रोलिंग द माइंड कंट्रोलिंग द सेंसेस प्रैक्टिसिंग टॉलरेंस
Controlling the mind, controlling the senses, practicing tolerance,
and so on.
And so on.
Upaye,
upaye,
by the means.
By the means.
Janatan,
janatan,
the people in general.
The people in general.
Anushashasha,
anushashasha.
He ruled over.
He ruled over.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although Lord Rishabhdev knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge, which includes information about all types of occupational duties, he still maintained himself as a Kshatriya and followed the instructions of the Brahmanas as they related to mind control, sense control, tolerance and so forth. Thus, he ruled the people according to the system of Varnashrama Dharma, which enjoins that the Brahmanas instruct the Kshatriyas and the Kshatriyas administer to the state through the Vaishyas and Shudras. Further, although Rishabhdev knew all the Vedic instructions perfectly well, he nonetheless followed the instructions of the Brahmanas in order to perfectly maintain the social order. The Brahmanas would give advice according to the Shastras and all the other castes would follow. The word Brahma means perfect knowledge of all activities. and this knowledge is very confidentially described in the Vedic literatures. Men trained perfectly as Brahmanas should know all Vedic literature, and the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general populace. The general populace should follow the perfect Brahmanas. In this way, one can learn how to control the mind and senses and thus gradually advance to spiritual perfection. Om Agyanatirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunnilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpa Dharubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in this particular chapter we are continuing the discussing the characteristics and qualities of Rishabdeh and some of his activities as well. And this will go on for a few chapters. So, in the synopsis of this chapter, Prabhupada explains that the word Rishabha means actually the best or the supreme. So, when Maharaj Nabi got Rishabdeh as his son, and obviously the Lord had himself appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabi and all the Brahmanas, when Maharaj Nabi was praying for a son which was as good as the Supreme Lord. So that time the Supreme Lord blessed and said, yes, I will appear as your son. So Maharaj Nabi knew that his son is the best, he is the supreme, he will have the best characteristics, and therefore he named him as Rishabh. Rishabh means the best or the supreme. So Maharaj Nabi was exalted, as we saw in the previous chapter, all the activities of Maharaj Nabi were described, and an exalted father gave birth to an exalted son as well. Through his activities and through his own good qualities, he begot a good son in the womb of his wife. So now the activities of Maharaj Rishabdev and the characteristics of Maharaj Rishabdev are described in this particular chapter. And specially it is described over here that Rishabdev, although he was the supreme personality of Godhead, he has accepted the role of a Kshatriya king. Because there was still, you know, progeny was going on, the planets were being created, all the planets were being populated. So still, you know, all these activities which we are hearing about right now, starting from Priyavrata, Agnitra, all these people, they have come to actually populate the universe as per the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Rishabdev playing the part of a Kshatriya king, even though he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And like Krishna, he is setting an example for everybody to follow. So yesterday we heard in the class that Jagannath Ramka who also gave about how, you know, great leaders, whatever they do, common people follow. And Maharaj Rishabdev, like Lord Krishna, was setting an example. So in this chapter it is described that he accepted Kshatriya Dharma because he was born to King Nabi, and the purpose of his existence was to rule the kingdom and to, you know, create good progeny which will rule the future generations and also teach his citizens how to become God conscious. So he was playing that role very well, and it is described that like Krishna, he was setting an example by accepting the Guru. So even Maharaj Rishabdev went to Gurukul, it is described, and he accepted a Guru. So he practiced Brahmacharya in the initial years of his life. He went to the Gurukul, got instructions from his Guru Maharaj, and after that he adopted the Grahastha Ashram. And he got married, the wife was given to him by King Indra. So he got married and he settled down in Grahastha Ashram. And in this particular verse, we can see that he's setting another example for all of us. He's setting an example how Brahmanas should always be taken guidance from. How Brahmanas should be the thinking head or the leaders of the society. And even if you're the Supreme Lord, you should still be under the instructions of the Brahmanas. That is the example he's setting. And as a Grahastha, After he, you know, adopted the Grihastha Ashram and he married his wife, he got 100 sons. Again, you know, the duty of Grihasthas, once they get married, is to produce nice children, Krishna conscious children who will populate, who will help the citizens, other citizens go back to Godhead. So that is exactly what Maharaj Rishabhdev did. He begot 100 sons in his wife's womb, and the eldest son of that particular, of those 100 sons, was named as Bharat. And in the subsequent chapters, we will see the activities of Maharaj Bharat, how Rishabhdev enthroned him as the king and he retired. And behind, because Maharaj Bharat had ruled the kingdom so nicely, the whole planet, or this, you know, we call it India, present day India is called as Bharat, but the whole planet was named as Bharat Varsha, just behind, you know, in the glory of Maharaj Bharat. So we see he got these 100 glorious sons, and then, you know, Bharat Maharaj ruled further, whose pastimes we will see. So he was so powerful, it is described that he didn't care about, you know, obviously he's the supreme personality of Godhead, all the demigods are operating under him. So it is described in the synopsis and in the previous verses we saw that actually King Indra, and usually, you know, Indra sets an example for all of us in the Bhagavatam what not we should do. Like every time his name keeps appearing. Now, you know, the most glorious Govardhan Leela is also coming up in a few days' time. So there also Indra is setting an example of what should not be done. So he is an exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Many times, you know, the Lord appears because of the prayers of the demigods. He comes and helps them. But every time we see in many sections of Bhagavatam, he is setting an example of what should not be done by a person. So over here also, in, you know, Maharaj Rishabhdev's pastimes also, he becomes very, you know, we saw in his forefathers, Rishabhdev's forefathers, Prithu Maharaj's pastime also, Indra had become insecure. And over here also it is described, Indra became insecure and became envious when he saw Rishabhdev's popularity amongst his citizens. So he was very popular, all the citizens really loved him because of his exalted qualities, the way he was compassionate, the way he was guiding the whole kingdom, which even Maharaj Nabi observed. And Nabi quickly made him, enthroned him as the king, and Nabi retired to Badrikashram. So when Indra saw all this, Maharaj Rishabhdev's exalted qualities, he became very envious and he stopped rain in his kingdom. He did not allow rain to pour over there. And the opposite he did in Govardhan Leela, he poured the whole Vrindavan down with so much rain that the village got drowned. But in this case he thought he will withhold the rain and he will see how this king will still be able to sustain his citizens, because we know rain is the main, like, life giver. If there's no rain, obviously things will start building, there will be famines and all that. But Maharaj Rishabhdev is described, he's the supreme lord. He did not care about whether Indra is able to give rain or no. When he stopped the rain, Maharaj Rishabhdev produced his own rain. And he gave nice rainfall to his whole kingdom and nothing got affected. That is how powerful he was. And in this particular verse, it is described that although he knew all the Vedic injunctions, completely he knew all the Vedic injunctions, he was completely aware of the conclusion of the Vedic injunctions as well. And he knew what had to be done in terms of establishing the Varnashram Dharma. In fact, previous verses it is described that the Varnashram Dharma, when Maharaj Rishabhdev came, the Varnashram Dharma was a little bit lost. And therefore Maharaj Rishabhdev took upon himself, again, you know, setting example as a great leader, that he has to establish Varnashram Dharma, otherwise the whole society will be misguided. So that is what Maharaj Rishabhdev did. He established Varnashram Dharma very firmly in the society, in the kingdom that he was ruling. And specially it is written, a couple of verses ago it is written, that he taught the people how to perfect their life through Grihastha Ashram. Because he himself was a Grihastha, he was setting a good example as a Grihastha. And he showed other people also that Grihastha Ashram is very glorious as well. And how in the Varnashram Dharma system, one should adopt the Grihastha Ashram, do their duties properly as a Grihastha. And that is also a very safe and secure method to go back to Godhead. That is what Rishabhdev did. So in this verse, coming to this verse, it is described how Rishabhdev was so well versed in all the scriptures, so well versed in all the Vedic knowledge, but still he is setting an example for all of us by actually consulting the Brahmanas. Now we know Krishna is Mamo Brahmanya Devaya. Krishna, for Krishna, the Brahmanas are very dear to him. So again, because Govardhan Leela is coming up soon, Govardhan festival, we know in that whole pastime, Krishna is actually going and challenging Nanda Maharaj and the culture that they had held for, the tradition that was being followed for many, many years in Vrindavan of worshipping Indra and offering homage, an annual homage to Indra. So he actually went and challenged that. And he told Nanda Maharaj, he opened his eyes and he told him that we are being sustained by three personalities. By the Govardhan, by our cows and by the Brahmans, Brahmanas. That is what Krishna was establishing through the whole Govardhan Leela also. The supremacy of Govardhan Parvat, the supremacy of the cows and the supremacy of worshipping the Brahmanas. So he is Namo Brahmanya Devaya. The Brahmanas are very dear to Krishna. And that is what in his form as Rishabh, in his incarnation as Rishabhdev, in this verse we are seeing is again re-establishing that fact. That even though I am well versed in everything, I know the scriptures. In fact, the scriptures have come from Krishna. The Vedas have come from Krishna. He is the origin of all the Vedas. But still, he is taking instructions from all the Brahmanas. He is not doing anything. He is not making any decisions without taking instructions from the Brahmanas. That is the exalted position he is holding and that is the respect he is giving to the Brahmanas. In this particular verse we can see. So we see over here that he is saying that although I am the ruler, I will administer this rule through whatever instructions the Brahmanas will give me. And we saw just yesterday, we saw the conclusion of almost 3-4 days of tension which was there in the world. You know, America was going through the election and the vote counting and all that, and every day the news were flooded with who's going to win, in which states who is leading. And ultimately yesterday it was announced that Joe Biden has, you know, outnumbered Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is out. He did not, after 1972, Donald Trump is the first US president who did not get a second term. So it's been very humiliating for Donald Trump. And Joe Biden has outwitted him. But we see over here the leadership, like how this leadership was and how the consciousness of people is. I was just reading in the news yesterday, it was said that Donald Trump's wife is going to divorce him very soon. So this is the example that, you know, our current day leaders are setting. It was said, you know, marriage is in a turmoil right now. Maybe Donald Trump, we don't know about his personal life, but he was not setting a good example probably in his own grahasthashram. His wife was much younger than he was, such an old person. And now it is in the news that she is almost out of the door. He is going to receive the divorce papers soon. So these are the type of leaders that are ruling right now. The current world is in the hands of such leaders who are absolutely, there is no Brahminical culture that they are maintaining. There is no instructions or guidance that they are taking from Brahmanas. And therefore we see things, you know, crumbling like this. In many countries in the world, we see there is so much unrest. And that is just because the leadership is not correct. The head of the state, like whether it's democracy or whichever type of leadership is there, they are not taking the guidance of exalted Brahmanas. And therefore we are seeing everything is crumbling completely around us. Things are deteriorating. So Prabhupada, when he established ISKCON, one of his purposes was to establish a sect, or you know, train people in, you know, to become good Brahmanas so that they can then guide properly. And we were reading the Leelamrita during Purushottam month. We had taken that vow to read Leelamrita every day. And over there I was reading that even when Prabhupada, he was young, ISKCON had not even started, he was still in India, he was still a grahastha with young children and all. But because he had that fire of preaching since his young age, he used to write letters regularly to all the exalted, you know, leaders who were there, to Indira Gandhi, to Lal Bahadur Shastri. He used to write letters, Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel. So it is mentioned in the Leelamrita, he used to write letters to them, giving them, sort of giving them guidance on what should be done, what sort of leadership they should establish in the country, how they should establish Krishna consciousness or God consciousness in the country, and how they should rule the citizens to take them back to Godhead. He used to give suggestions, like in the parliament you should have kirtan every day. So all these are the suggestions Prabhupada used to give, very bold in his preaching. But even at that time Prabhupada was establishing an example. He was following in the footsteps of Krishna, Rishabhdev, like we see here, that Brahmana should be guiding the Kshatriyas. They should always be taking guidance. So Prabhupada was establishing that system by actually writing letters. Even to Mahatma Gandhi, he had written quite a few letters. Just before Mahatma Gandhi left also, he had written that now it's time you retire from politics. You know, India had already gained its independence. So you retire from active politics, otherwise death will come at any moment. And when, you know, Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated, Prabhupada is written, he was thinking that the prophet, it was almost this letter had proved prophetic. But obviously he knew that these letters might not even reach the leaders, they might not even have read it, but still Prabhupada was keeping that mission alive, that Brahmana should be guiding the leaders of the society, the Kshatriyas or the administrative class of the society. And that is what we see Rishabdev also being doing over here, setting a really good example by always having exalted Brahmanas who would be guiding him. And throughout Bhagavatam we see that. All the Rajrishis who had come in the Bhagavatam we see, they are always, including Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, Yudhishthir Maharaj, in his kingdom always, or even Maharaj Nabhi we saw in the previous chapter. Because he was respecting the Brahmanas so nicely and he was giving that position which Brahmanas deserved, the Brahmanas through Dhya Tejas were able to invoke the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the sacrifice of Maharaj Nabhi, and they were able to beget such a such an exalted son like the Supreme Lord in the wife of Maharaj Nabhi, in the womb of Maharaj Nabhi's wife. So that is what we see all saintly kings doing throughout the pages of Bhagavatam, how to establish this principle of taking guidance from the Brahmanas. So that is what we learn from this particular purport. And today it is also the appearance day of Radha Kund. It's called as Bahulashtami. So we'll dwell the next few minutes of our class in discussing about Radha Kund, its appearance day, and what significance it has, especially for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, like from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami's point of view. What importance does this Radha Kund carry for us? So we'll spend the next few minutes discussing the appearance of Radha Kund. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Radha Kund, Radha and Krishna in their Nitya Leela, where you know they are in Golok Vrindavan also, the origin of Radha Kund is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the scriptures. In the Adi Puran also, this some pastimes are there about the origin of Radha Kund in the spiritual world. So Radha Kund is eternally existing. It is not just there in Bhoumi Vrindavan, but it's eternally existing in Golok Vrindavan as well. And it is described in the Adi Puran. One of the pastimes which is described is that in the Radha and Krishna, in their Nitya Leela, between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., they daily meet on the banks of Radha Kund to perform their most confidential pastimes. That is the exalted position of Radha Kund, because Radha and Krishna choose that as their sporting ground, as their Leela Sthali, to perform their pastimes daily between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. So that is the position of Radha Kund. And in fact, in Nectar of Instruction, we see the position of Radha Kund being glorified by none other than Rupa Goswami. So he describes that he is doing a comparison, like a hierarchy he is giving us, which place in this world is the most exalted. So obviously he first compares the material world to Vaikuntha. And he says better than this material world is Vaikuntha, obviously, because that is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is free from all kuntha, all distress and miseries. But he says, okay, Vaikuntha is higher than the material world, but higher than Vaikuntha is Mathura. Mathura is higher because Lord Krishna chose Mathura as the place where he took birth in this particular world. So therefore Mathura is higher than Vaikuntha. He says after that higher than Mathura is Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is higher than Mathura because Mathura was the birthplace of Krishna, but in Vrindavan Krishna performed all his leelas, especially the Ras Leela was performed in Vrindavan, and therefore Vrindavan is much more exalted than Mathura. And much more exalted than Vrindavan is Govardhan. Govardhan is more exalted because Govardhan was personally touched by Krishna. He lifted it with his little finger. So it had got the personal touch of Krishna. Plus Govardhan, like you know, we just mentioned a few minutes ago, that Govardhan was supplying so many necessities to the residents of Vrindavan. Plus it was the Leela Sthali again of many pastimes. Gopas and Krishna used to play there, the cows they used to take over there. There are so many pastimes which happen between the gopis and Krishna also in Govardhan. So Govardhan is considered much more exalted than Vrindavan. And this Govardhan is actually like a peacock. It's shaped like a peacock. And the eyes of Govardhan are Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. And Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction that Radha Kund is considered much higher than Govardhan as well. Because Radha Kund is non-different than Srimati Radharani. It is the liquid form of Srimati Radharani, and Krishna himself has declared that whoever chants or sings the glories of Radhakund or takes bath in the Radhakund, they will be as dear to me as Radharani, and they will get that love which Radharani has for me. That is what Krishna has personally declared. And Radhakund, is the highest, it's much more higher than Govardhan as well. Because again, there were lots of pastimes also which took place between Radha and Krishna on the banks of Radhakund. So that is how Rupa Goswami describes the hierarchy and the supreme most position of Radhakund in this particular, in this text, Nectar of Instruction. So there is a description of Radhakund described in the Adi Puran, how it appeared in the spiritual world. So once Radha and Krishna, they were sitting, the Yugal Kishore were sitting on a bejeweled throne. Beautiful throne they were sitting on. The gopis were all surrounding them and they were having their confidential pastimes. And the gopis were serving them, like some of the gopis were fanning them, some were singing beautiful songs, playing musical instruments. And Radha and Krishna were seated on this beautiful throne. And they both were so absorbed in the ecstasy of being with each other, and that absorption went so deep for Krishna first, that he actually started feeling separation from Radharani. His mind started thinking that what if Radharani is not there with me, what if I get separated? And in that ecstasy, he started shedding tears. And because he went so deep in his ecstasy of meditating on Radharani and separation from her, he started taking on the bhava of Radharani and the form of Radharani. And he actually ran into the forest. In that form and bhava of Radharani, he started looking for Krishna. Because Radharani is always seeking Krishna. So he ran into the forest looking for Krishna here and there. And over here, Radharani, who was seated on the throne, she also was absorbed deeply in ecstasy, in remembrance of Lord Krishna. And when she saw this was happening, she also became very ecstatic. And in her ecstasy, she started feeling separation from Krishna. And because of that, she went into that mood of Krishna and she took on externally the form of Krishna. And again, she also started looking for Krishna here and there, like Radharani always does. She's looking for Krishna all the time. And the gopis did not know what to do because they were very bewildered. They were serving the divine couple seated on this throne, and suddenly Krishna has run off into the forest, assuming the form of Radharani, and Radha has taken the form of Krishna, and she's also crying uncontrollably. And the gopis are not able to control Radharani at all. They try to speak to Radharani, bring her out of that consciousness, but they were not successful. So then they decided, okay, let us go to Krishna and try there. So they actually run to the forest and they meet Krishna, who's still looking for Radharani. And they tell him, they pacify him and they say that, because you are doing like that, Radharani has also gone into the mood of separation and she's crying profusely. Is that what you want for Radharani? And then Krishna was, coming back to his senses. He did not want to cause any grief, even though it was ecstatic grief. He did not want to cause any grief to Srimati Radharani. And the gopis then told him that you chant this mantra so that Radharani immediately appears over here. So he chanted a mantra which the gopis had given him, and Radharani immediately appeared in front of him. And then they both came back. The gopis requested them that you please, come back to your external consciousness. Both of you are here now. And then Krishna declared to Radharani, because by their tears, what had happened, there were two beautiful ponds that had got created. And Krishna declared to Radharani that these beautiful ponds which have been created, especially the pond which has been created by your tears, that will be called as Radhakund. And that will be more dear to me, because it has come out of tears of separation from me, and in the ecstasy that you are feeling for me, this kund of yours will be more dear, as dear to me as you are, Radharani. And he gave that benediction that anyone who will, even touch the waters of this kund, they will get love. They will get love for me, supreme love for me. And same way, Radharani also declared this kund to be very supreme, which had come from his tears, which was called as Krishna Kund or Shyama Kund. And then both of them took bath in the kunds and assumed their original forms of Radha and Krishna. And that way all the gopis were pacified. So this is how originally Radha Kund and Shyama Kund appeared in the Golok Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. They are nothing but the tears of Radha and Krishna in separation from each other, the liquid love that they were feeling for each other. Now speaking about Bhauma Vrindavan, or in the Vrindavan which we visit over here in India. So the appearance of Radha Kund and Shyama Kund is very beautifully described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. where the pastime of Arishtashura is there. So Krishna had already concluded his Rasa Leela. Nanda Maharaj was going to be swallowed by the python, whom Krishna then rescues Nanda Maharaj from the python. And Arishtashura is one of the beings. This pastime happens almost when Krishna is about to leave for Mathura. After he kills Arishtashura, very soon Krishna will depart for Mathura. He will leave Vrindavan and go away. So this, but in this particular pastime, it is described that, you know, Kamsa used to regularly send demons to try and kill Krishna. So in this particular pastime, the demon assumes a huge bull form. And he comes into Vrindavan with an aim to kill Krishna. And the form of Arishtashura is described in the 10th canto. It is described that he was so huge that he was almost touching the sky. And the hump on his back, he was a bull, so the hump on his back was almost like a mountain. And the clouds thought that, oh, this is a mountain, so they were hovering around his hump. That you know, Arishtashura was that tall, touching the sky, the hump is, the clouds are hovering around the hump. And he gave out that loud, billowing sound, and he entered into Vrindavan. And he kept stomping his feet in the ground of Vrindavan, which was creating almost earthquakes in Vrindavan. There were such loud tremors that were coming. And just with his loud billowing sound, it is described that the gopis and the cows who were pregnant at that time, they had miscarriages in fear of hearing this sound. They all got so frightened that they had miscarriages, and all the other Brajvasis also became very scared looking at this gigantic bull that had come, and all the sounds and the hoofs that, with his horns were very big, and he was kicking his hoofs in the ground of Vrindavan. So everyone got scared, and whenever they used to get scared of a calamity used to come, they would as usual run to Lord Krishna for shelter. So they ran to Lord Krishna for shelter, and Krishna came over there in front of Arishtashura. And he first chastised Arishtashura. He said, how dare you come in my kingdom, or in the place where I am there, how dare you enter that place? These Vrajvasis are protected by me, how can you come and scare them like this? So Krishna was very angry with Arishtashura. But Arishtashura was obviously, his purpose was to he had been sent to kill Krishna. So with his two horns, huge horns that he tried to attack Krishna. And Krishna, you know, he tried to push Krishna a little behind. But Krishna caught hold of the two horns and pushed Arishtashura back. And quite a few feet back he pushed Arishtashura. But again Arishtashura came charging with his horns lowered and trying to attack Krishna with his horns. And this time Krishna took his horns and he thrashed Arishtashura using his horns. And the comparison is given in the Bhagavatam that just as a dhobi means a washerman. You know, in the villages, washermen still wash clothes by beating the clothes on a stone. There are special stones on river banks where washermen go to wash clothes, and they beat the clothes on the stone so that the dirt gets removed. So it is that comparison is given in Bhagavatam, that when Krishna tried to kill Arishtashura, he thrashed him around like a washerman would thrash clothes. Even though he was so huge and gigantic, very effortlessly he just thrashed him around. And the, you know, he thrashed him so much that Arishtashura lost his life immediately. And he died. He was lying dead over there in the land of Vrindavan. And when he died, all the Brajvasis cheered Krishna. Obviously they came, they celebrated, there was a big celebration. Everyone was very joyous because Krishna had saved them from this calamity. And the demigods, they would always watch all these leelas of Krishna from the clouds. And they all showered flowers on Krishna, glorifying Krishna, singing about Krishna that he does so many feats in such a young age. So after this whole pastime was over, Krishna went to the gopis. Because, you know, this had happened somewhere in the afternoon. And in the evening, Krishna would go to the gopis and Radharani especially to have his, you know, pastimes with them. So he went and met them. This was near the foothill of Govardhan. He went and met the gopis and he was trying to have his pastimes as usual, like he would have with the gopis. But the gopis were in a joking mood at that time. So they rebuked him. And they said, no, don't come near us and don't even touch us. And Krishna said, why? You all are always so eager to have pastimes with me. Today you all are just pushing me away from you all. What happened? So the gopi said, led by Radharani, they said that we cannot allow you to come near us and we cannot associate with you now anymore. Because you have done the aparadh or the sin of killing a male cow. Because, you know, they knew cows are very dear to Krishna. So they said, you have killed a bull who is none other than a male cow, which is the greatest sin on this planet. So we cannot associate with you because you are fully contaminated now. So Krishna tried to reason with them. Krishna said, but he was a demon who had been sent by Kamsa, and he had just taken the form of a bull, but he was a demon who was going to kill the Vrajvasi. Therefore I had to kill him. So the gopi said, no, we don't know anything like that. Very haughtily they were having this conversation with Krishna. We don't know all this. You have committed a sin. You are contaminated now, and we are not going to associate with you. So then immediately Krishna, taking a humble position, he said, okay, then what should I do? You all tell me, what should I do to get rid of this contamination, or to, you know, nivaran we say, to how to negate this sin that I have done. So the one of the gopis said, she took the leadership and she said, oh Krishna, maybe you should go to all the holy rivers in this entire universe and you should take a bath in all the holy rivers. Only then will you get purified. So Krishna said, Krishna did not want so much separation from the Radharani and the gopis. He did not want to go traveling all over the universe, taking bath in the holy rivers. So then he told, oh, is that all I have to do? I am not going to go to all the holy rivers to take bath. What I am going to do is, I am going to call all the holy rivers over here. They are my servants anyway. So then through his desire, he called all the holy rivers over there, and he had struck with his foot. He had struck his foot on the ground, which had created a nice like kunda, like a depression in the ground. So immediately all the holy rivers appeared over there and they started filling water. He commanded them to fill water in his kunda. And Krishna said, see, these holy rivers are here and they are filling water in the kunda. And the gopi said, no, how can we believe that this water has come from the holy rivers? We don't believe you. So then Krishna actually invited all the personalities of the holy river to manifest themselves and to show them to the gopis and to give their identity to the gopis. So then, you know, the presiding deity of Bhogavati, Narmada, Kaveri, Yamuna, the milk ocean, Karana ocean, that personality had also come. All of them came and introduced themselves to the gopis. And then the gopis were pacified that, okay, all these, you know, these are actually the holy rivers from all over the universe who have come. So then they all filled the water in Krishna, in that kund which Krishna had created. And Krishna said that now all the rivers are manifest in this but one kund. So I will take my bath here and I will purify myself. And Krishna did that. He came out of the, he took his bath, plunged himself, took his bath. He purified himself. And then he came out and he became very proud, apparently proud. So he started boasting to the gopis. He said that, see, I was able to invite all the holy rivers over here. And I have now, like I said, I have got rid of all my contamination by taking bath in these waters. But you gopis, you all have never done any pious activity to please Brahma. And you all have now also done another sin. You all have sided with a demon. And therefore that you all are also contaminated now because you all took the side of a demon whom I was just trying to protect all the Vrajvasis, but you all are siding with that demon. So you all are contaminated now and I am not going to associate with you, all of you now. So you also should take bath in all the holy rivers. So then Radharani, obviously she was very pricked by Krishna's piercing words. So she said, that's okay. And Krishna said that, why don't you come and take bath in my kund? All the holy rivers are already over here. The water is there from the rivers. Just take my bath in my kund and you all will get purified as well. So Radharani was already pricked because Krishna was saying such words. She said that, no, we are not going to take bath in your kund. Because your kund is already contaminated. You know, because you washed yourself in that kund, all your sins are in the kund now. So we are not going to take bath there. We will create our own kund. So they, you know, nearby there was a hoof print of Areshtasura. Now, he was so huge that his hoof print had created a huge depression in the ground. So Radharani, she invited all the gopis and she said, let's excavate this kund a little bit more. Let's make it deeper. So they all broke their bangles. And they started digging using their bangles. All the gopis, millions of gopis started digging. And in no time they had created a beautiful depression, like a beautiful kund in the ground. And Krishna was himself amazed to see how these gopis had done so quickly, such a wonderful feat. So he said, okay, it's okay if you all don't want to take bath here, you all want to take bath in your own kund. I will ask the waters from my kund to fill your kund. And again Radharani said, no, we don't want water from your kund. So Krishna said, then where will you get water from in your kund? And Radharani said, we will get it from Manasi Ganga. Because Manasi Ganga is very pure, so we will get water from there. So again, all these thousands of gopis, they formed a queue, a line till Manasi Ganga, and they started passing down thousands of pots. And very slowly, obviously, pot by pot, they are filling this huge kund. So Krishna saw very laboriously all the gopis were working. They first dig the whole kund, now they have formed a big line and they are passing pots of water from the Manasi Ganga. So Krishna did Ishara. Ishara means he showed an indication to all the holy rivers to come and appear before Radharani and to request her to allow them to fill her kund as well. So all the holy rivers once again appeared in front of Radharani and they started offering beautiful prayers to Radharani. They said that even all the great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they are not able to understand your glories. Only your most confidential devotees and only Lord Krishna is able to understand your glories. You are the supreme goddess of fortune. And please allow us and you know our desire to be fulfilled and give us a benediction, O Radharani. So Radharani being very merciful, she asked them, okay, what benediction do you all want? And they said, please allow us to serve you and serve your lotus feet by filling this pond which you have created with our waters. So Radharani again, you know, she was very merciful. So she said, okay, no problem. You all can fill my kund with your waters. And then all the bank which was there on Shyama kund, that broke open and all the water entered into Radha kund. And that is how the whole Radha kund was also created. And then, you know, Radharani obviously was pacified by then. Krishna was pacified. So Krishna actually declared to Radharani what he had declared in the spiritual world as well. He had declared that this kund is so dear to me that I will always consider this as the supreme water and I will regularly take bath in this water. Because anyone who takes bath in this kund will get pure love for you, for your lotus feet. They will understand your glories and they will become a devotee of you. And same way Radharani declared for Krishna's pond, Shyama kund. She said that I declare today that your kund is the dearmost to me in this whole material creation. And I vow that regularly I will take bath in your kund. And anybody who takes bath over here and worships your kund will become a devotee, a pure devotee of yours in this lifetime itself. So that way they both then took bath in the, you know, in the kunds. Radharani took bath in Shyama kund, Krishna took bath in Radha kund. And that way they had a beautiful pastime. So the Acharyas described that, you know, Radha kund, Shyama kund and all the other, you know, places of Leela, places of Vrindavan, they always come with Krishna to this material world just so that Krishna and Radharani's pastimes can be enhanced. Govardhan came down, all these other, you know, kunds came down just to enhance and give that pleasure to Radha and Krishna. All these pastime places descend personally from the spiritual world in this material world. So like this, you know, both the kunds are created, but after some years, after Krishna left the planet, the kunds had, you know, they had diminished in size and they were almost lost. So Krishna's grandson, Vajrana, when he was establishing the deities, you know, Vajrana got deities of Krishna cow, he was also excavating and re-establishing all the Leela sthal of Vrindavan. So that time he personally re-established Radha kund and Shyama kund. Because they had become very small and they had almost diminished. So he again, you know, got the kunds excavated, filled them, got them filled with water. And he created huge walls, like nice boundaries and all on which people could walk, steps which could people could walk down to go down to the kund. So all this was in my Vajrana, Krishna's grandson. So that was then almost 4,900 years ago probably, because Krishna was there 5,000 years ago. But over a period of time, once again, Vrindavan was almost getting lost, especially all the pastime places were getting lost, and Radha kund and Shyama kund were lost in this material world. They had unmanifested themselves from material vision. So now, you know, coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Vrindavan after his sannyas, shortly after taking sannyas, he was continuously meditating on Radha kund and Shyama kund. Prabhupada describes in the purports that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited all the places, in holy places in Vrindavan. But he had still not found Radha kund and Shyama kund. And he was continuously meditating, where is Radha kund, Shyama kund? I want them to be re-established so that people down in the generations, devotees can come and take bath in Radha kund and Shyama kund and take darshan of Radha kund and Shyama kund. So like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was constantly meditating. And he came to a place called Aritagra. And over there, he was sitting down under a tamal tree, it is said. So he was sitting down under a tamal tree and he was in deep meditation. And even today when we go for Radhakund Parikrama, that place is still there, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat and meditated trying to find out where Radhakund and Shyamakund are. So it is called as Mahaprabhu Baithak or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Baithak or Skhal, it's called. So a beautiful temple is there over there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was meditating, and while he was meditating like that, he saw two paddy fields. And he saw little ponds of water in these paddy fields. And upon inquiring with local Rajvasis, he came to know that these paddy fields are called as Gari Khet and Gauri Khet by all the Rajvasis. So in Raja language, Gari means dark and Gauri means white or fair. So one was Gari Khet, means a dark khet or a dark pond, and the other was Gauri Khet, which was like fair pond or light colored pond. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and saw these ponds, and he immediately realized that these are none other than Radhakund and Shyamakund. So he was in so much ecstasy and on rediscovering Radhakund and Shyamakund. He took his bath in these two little ponds which were there, and he was dancing in ecstasy on the banks of these two kunds. And all the Vrajvasis were amazed to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance like that. That this golden complexion, tall sannyasi is dancing in ecstasy. So they also joined him, and they also realized that these are the pastime faces of Radha and Krishna. Radhakund and Shyamakund. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had entrusted all his Goswami disciples, especially Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, with re-establishing all the Leela places of Radha and Krishna. So he entrusted them with the responsibility of rebuilding Radhakund and Shyamakund. And then when Raghunath Das Goswami came to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left the planet already, Raghunath Das Goswami came to Vrindavan to be under the shelter of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami after many years. So when he came to Vrindavan, he was feeling so much separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was almost contemplating suicide. But Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami pacified him, and they somehow told him, no, you make your residence here in Vrindavan and talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu daily so that you don't feel so much separation from him. And when they came to know, because Raghunath Das Goswami, he is considered the austerities acharya out of all the six Goswamis. He was so austere. He used to drink hardly a little buttermilk, very little buttermilk he would drink daily. That was all that he used to consume. And all the time absorbed in Radha and Krishna's pastimes and chanting the holy names. In fact, once it is said that Raghunath Das Goswami got very heavy indigestion, like very bad stomach ache, and he was writhing in pain. So some of his followers invited the Vaidya, the local Vaidya. And the Vaidya came and checked him. He did not know Raghunath Das Goswami and what his diet and all that was. He checked him, and upon checking he said that, oh, this is indigestion caused by too much consumption of milk and rice and sugar. And all the followers became so angry. They thought this Vaidya is a crack. You know, those crack doctors who are there, he's not an unqualified doctor. So they were almost going to throw him out. Because they said, he daily drinks only a little buttermilk. He doesn't consume anything more than that. And you're saying the indigestion is because of overeating? But then Raghunath Das Goswami started laughing, and he said that, he revealed to his followers very humbly, he said that when he was meditating on Radharani and Krishna's pastimes, Radharani had invited him in his eternal form as a manjari to take part in the feast that she had cooked for Krishna. So Krishna had eaten some sweet rice which Radharani had also been eaten, and then she had given that remnants to Raghunath Das Goswami in his eternal form. And in that spiritual form, Raghunath Das Goswami had finished all that sweet rice. Because it was so nectarian, it was Maha Maha Prashad. So he had finished all the sweet rice, and that had affected his physical form over here in Bhomi Vrindavan. And that is what had given him the indigestion. So he was so exalted. And because of his austerities, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with him when he was in Jagannath Puri, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gifted him his own Govardhan Shila and his Vrindamala. So these are the two gifts which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given him, and he had said, worship them till the end of your life. So when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami saw these gifts which were given to Raghunath Das Goswami by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they realized that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants Raghunath Das Goswami to be always in the association of Govardhan Parvat. So they told him, you make your residence, your bhajan kuti, on the banks of Radhakund near Govardhan Hill, and over here you meditate and talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is where Raghunath Das Goswami gave his residence. So Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was there, Radha Kund and Shyama Kund were only 4 meters by 4 meters. Very small they had been discovered, but they were very small in size and they were not properly manifested in their whole glory. So once when Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting and meditating, he was thinking that, oh, I wish I could, you know, make these Radha Kund and I could renovate Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. I could make them bigger, I could make them such that devotees in the future generations for many, many years to come can come and take darshan, you know, sit and meditate on the banks of Radha Kund, Shyama Kund, do their bhajan here, take bath here, like that he was meditating. And in his meditation he was thinking, okay, how should the boundary be, what sort of steps should be created and all. And then he chastised himself. He said that you have to be absorbed in the meditation of Radha and Krishna and you are absorbing yourself in all this management. So he chastised himself, he took his mind away from there and he again started chanting the holy names. But Krishna understood his desire. So to reciprocate with Raghunath Das Goswami, at that time there was a wealthy merchant called Samarpan who was passing through Vrindavan. And that wealthy merchant was actually on his way to Badrinath. And he was carrying lot of wealth with him because he wanted to donate all that wealth to Badrinath, to the temple in Badrinath. But while he was on this journey, while he was passing through Vrindavan, the Lord Badrinath appeared in a dream to this Samarpan. And they told this wealthy merchant, the Lord told the wealthy merchant that please don't come till Badrinath to give all this wealth. My desire is that you give all this wealth to this Raghunath Das Goswami so that he can utilize it and renovate Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. So Badrinath personally came and instructed Samarpan like that. And then Samarpan was so happy to receive these personal instructions from the Lord. So he went in search of, oh, who is this Raghunath Das Goswami? He did not know. He went in search, he found Raghunath Das Goswami and he gave him all the wealth. And he said, the Lord has personally told me to give you this wealth so you can then renovate this Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. And Raghunath Das Goswami was so humbled and amazed at how the Lord was reciprocating. As soon as he got the desire, the Lord arranged for this merchant to come and give him the wealth. But he was, Raghunath Das Goswami considered himself incapable of handling all this money. So he then called Jiva Goswami. Because Jiva Goswami was not only an expert in Shastras, Jiva Goswami was also very expert in management. So he said to Jiva Goswami, you please take all this wealth and you see how we can, you know, utilize this wealth to renovate Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. So Jiva Goswami then went and purchased all the land which was there around Radha Kund, Shyama Kund, and they both, Raghunath Das Goswami and Jiva Goswami together started the whole work of renovation of Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. So they renovated Radha Kund, they made it into a nice quadrangle with beautiful steps leading down, nice, you know, boundary walls where people could sit and chant or people could even walk and do parikrama. And then in the same way when they were renovating Shyama Kund, Yudhishthir Maharaj appeared in the dream of Raghunath Das Goswami at that time. And Yudhishthir Maharaj told him, because there were 5 trees on the banks, on the next day Raghunath Das Goswami was going to give instructions for those trees to be removed so that the Shyama Kund can also have a proper quadrangle shape. But Yudhishthir Maharaj appeared in his dream and he said that, please do not cut down these trees which are on the banks of Shyama Kund. It is us 5 Pandavas who are residing eternally over here, meditating on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So please let those trees be there. That is my request to you. So Raghunath Das Goswami was really amazed at that dream and he realized that these are the 5 Pandavas who are residing here eternally. So therefore he then told the workers next day that do not cut down these trees but build the Shyama Kund around it. And therefore if we see Shyama Kund shape is not exactly quadrangle, it is a little odd shape, whereas Radha Kund is completely quadrangle. So this is how the whole renovation and re-establishment of Radha Kund and Shyama Kund was done by Raghunath Das Goswami and Jiva Goswami. And today we are all able to go and do parikrama and take association of Radha Kund, Shyama Kund, pay our obeisances and take bath over there. So Prabhupada has many times warned devotees. He has said that we should not be frivolous when we go to Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. We should not take bath as if we are sporting in the ocean and you know people have fun. That is not the way we should take bath in Radha Kund, Shyama Kund. So as far as possible, devotees normally just dip their beads in Radha Kund and Shyama Kund and they just sprinkle some water on their heads. Unless, you know, some very exalted Vaishnavas are there and they have given permission, then devotees take bath in Radha Kund, Shyama Kund. But otherwise, normally, they just dip the beads and pour some water on their heads so as not to disrespect those two kunds. So that is what Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada also warned devotees in ISKCON to be careful in associating with devotees who live on the banks of Radhakund and Shyamakund. There are many Babaji's who have their ashrams around Radhakund, Shyamakund. So Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to be very careful in associating with these Babaji's, because it can create confusion, especially for devotees who are still neophyte, who are coming up in the on the path of Krishna consciousness. So that is the second warning Prabhupada had given to all the devotees, that don't associate too closely, like go there, take darshan, but don't spend too much time there associating with the Babaji's and all, because you can get philosophically confused about the goal of life or about the tenets of Radha and Krishna's pastimes and all. So these are the two warnings he has given. Now, you know, some of the important cases which are there around Radhakund and Shyamakund. One of the important cases over there is called as Jivha Mandir. Like, you know, whoever, we all have gone, most of us have gone to Radhakund and Shyamakund. So this Jivha Mandir is actually when Raghunath Das Goswami saw that the Brajvasis used to come and wash clothes in Radhakund and Shyamakund. And you know, they are simple villagers, so wherever they see a body of water, they would do their daily activities there. But Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to create an alternate source of water for them, so that they would not wash their clothes in Radhakund Shyamakund. So he instructed some workers to dig a well. He said, let's make a well so that the Brajvasis can wash their clothes near that well. So while they were digging the well, the workers, you know, when they struck one of the stones, the blood started oozing out of that stone. And they immediately took that to Raghunath Das Goswami. And then Krishna appeared to Raghunath Das Goswami in a dream. And Krishna said that I am residing over here, as you know, part of Govardhan Hill is also, because Radhakund is at the base of Govardhan Hill. So he said, this is my Govardhan Shila, and this is actually my tongue. And you know, therefore you please now take this Shila and you worship it, put me in a temple and you worship, install me in a temple and worship me forever. So that is why we see this Jivha Mandir which is there, which was dug out by these workers when they were making a well, and there was actual blood that came out from there. So it is a Govardhan Shila which was existing over there. Then we also see the Teen Goswami's Samadhi when we are going, which is near the trees. Now the five trees are not there, but we see one or two stumps of trees are remaining, for you know, man, showing an indication that the Pandavas used to live here. And next, very close to that tree is the Teen Goswami's Samadhi, which is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who actually wrote the entire Charitamrita on the banks of Radhakund. So it is such an exalted and purifying place. Then there is also the Samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami, who used to sit over there in that place, or his bhajan kutir is there. He used to sit there and he used to give classes on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes for 3 hours daily. So that bhajan kutir is also there, and also Raghunath Bhatt Goswami's bhajan kutir is there. And if you go a little further, there is Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Samadhis and bhajan kutirs are also there. So these are some of the important places we can see over there. And many other palak, if you go around Radhakund, it almost takes a day to go to all the temples which are there. Like there is Janva Mata's Baithak is there, like that. So many important temples and places are there around Radhakund. But these are some of the important places which are there on the banks of Radhakund. So we'll stop the class here, it's 9 o'clock. Any questions or comments or corrections? Then we end the class. Granthakshana Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai Nisai Bhos.